Our second scripture reading this morning comes from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, the second chapter, beginning in the fifth verse. And St. Paul writes, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This is the word of God for us and for many, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Lots of people without a brain do lots of talking. So says the Scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz. I love The Wizard of Oz, people. I love The Wizard of Oz. I love everything about it. I love the books. I love Wicked, the musical based on it. Based on a book based on it. That one line, I think, is one that as a kid, I didn't think was that funny. Right? Lots of people do lots of talking without any brains. As I've grown and as I've watched it with my kids, it becomes a little funnier. Something about watching the news regularly makes the words seem truer. And it speaks to this great truth that any of us who have been on this rock for a little bit of time know. That the world is filled with people who can say many words, can speak long and eloquent sounding speeches, and in essence say nothing at all. I'm a preacher, I know what I'm talking about when I say that. Sometimes where you think that more words will automatically mean more truth is conveyed. It is not about the quantity of our words, but it is about the quality of our words that really matters. That's this entire sermon series is based on the fact that we use words too loosely. We far too often assume that the people to whom we are talking know what we're saying when we use words. And if I'm quite honest, sometimes we assume we even know what we're saying. In the church, we love to do it. We have so many words that we like to use. But I wonder when's the last time we actually thought what they mean. What do we mean when we say those words? And I was trying to figure out what these words are that are the biggest perpetrators. I could think of no better place to start than the word that began it all, God. We use that word a lot in our society. We can decry all day we want whether our society is becoming more secular or less religious. We still use the word God a lot. It's still found everywhere. But when we use it, what do we mean? Does that word actually mean anything to us? Does it tell a story? You know, we often might hear people say, oh, they took God out of this place. We need to put God back in this place. We might talk about people that we believe God has chosen. And yet we don't seem to know what God even means, who God is. We look at surveys. Pew Research puts out all these surveys. All these different surveys come out. How many people say they believe in God? It's a very vague question. First, you need to define what you mean by God. Stanley Hauerwas, I think, rightly observes that often when people talk about God, they're talking about two things. Something who created all of this, and secondarily, something who gives us something after death. That is what God really comes down to. The first mover in creation, the first being to create everything, and something that's going to welcome us and give us a second life, or whatever it is we call the afterlife. It's a very vague God, isn't it? Doesn't say much about God, does it? In fact, it might say more about what we want than about who God is. And I don't know what's the reason behind this uncertainty. I don't know if it's being too afraid to make any big declaration that might not be true. I don't know if it's based around a general feeling of unworthiness to even describe God. To think as though we need to be some learned and trained person with a PhD in philosophy or theology to talk about God. And so we say, you know what, I'm just going to keep it vague. I'm going to say God, and we'll just all leave it there. We won't say anything more. And what can actually happen then is I can say, I believe in God, do you? And you could say, yes, I believe in God, and yet we mean two completely different things. We use the same word, but we use them differently. And perhaps for us as Christians, or any person in an Abrahamic religion, one of the biggest problems about this vagueness of the word God is that we can then use the word for whatever purpose we want. The word God just becomes some trump card in our deck of arguing. When we're arguing with one another about philosophical ideas or political stuff, we can just say, well, God says this. Yeah, but this is the way of God. As if that's the final straw. As if that wins the argument. God just becomes another tool in our own disagreements. God just becomes another way to make us feel righteous in whatever it is we already believe. Perhaps Voltaire got it right when he said, in the beginning, God created humanity in his image, and ever since then, humanity has been returning the favor. We try to describe a God that speaks like us, and acts like us, and loves only like us, and also hates like us, that draws the same lines we draw. And in doing so, we take all the power. We take all the power out of who God is, the God that we as Christians profess faith in, the God who has formed us into a community based only in who God is and not in who we are. I look out here today, and whether it's on Zoom, whether it's here in the building, or even those on YouTube I can't see, but you're listening to me right now. Why are we here? I don't mean that in some big question of why are any of us here, but why are we here in Hollywood? Why are we part of Hollywood United Methodist Church? Is it because we all agree about the same things? I've only been here for a couple months, but I don't think that's the case. Is it because we all act the same way? Probably not. No, what we are here is because God called us to be here. We are united in our confession of God, in who God is. As a being that is so totally different than us, so greater than us, so much holier, so much more perfect, and yet a God who in his perfection, in his holiness, in his otherness than us, chooses to make himself known to us. You see, if all God is something that created the universe and is going to give us life after death, we can go to the philosophers and we can say, give me all your arguments. There are plenty of them out there if you want. We call them apologists. People who will tell you why there must have been something to create everything. And you can get that. But I do not believe that an apologist, a philosopher, can get you the God that we follow. In all of his particularities. In all of the ways that God has time and time again chosen to reveal to us who he is. We do not find God because we're smart enough or pure enough. We find God because God says, I'm going to make myself known to you. God's been doing it since the beginning. Crafting a narrative. Telling a story. And in doing so, inviting God's people to come along and be a part of the story. For yes, we do believe that God created everything. We also believe that when humanity showed itself to be less than perfect, when humanity did not reflect the divine image with which they were created, God came into the picture and revealed himself to humanity that we might be saved. God came down and said, Abram, follow me. I will make you heir. I will make your heirs a great nation. I will make your descendants as numerous as the grains of sand on the beach, the stars in the sky. And I will give you land to live in and prosper in. And in so doing, in Abraham following out of faith, a special community was created who could name God by this revelation, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, who is also called Israel. In our first reading today, we saw one of the greatest, most memorable, self-revealing moments of God. When God's people, God's elect people, were in Egypt, God reveals himself to Moses. Gives a new name, I am who I am, or other ways to translate it is, I am who I will be. I am the God of your ancestors. I am the God of the story of your family, and I will be the God of your descendants. And so God goes through Moses, brings God's people out of slavery in the land of Egypt, through the waters, and eventually, into the promised land. And time again, as God's people forget who God is, and thereby forget who they are, God continues to speak through the prophets, through Isaiah, through Jeremiah, through Ezekiel, Micah, Amos, Obadiah, Zephaniah, Zechariah, Nahum, Jonah, all those ones whose names are too hard to say, continually reminding them who God is, and by extension, who they are called to be. But in perhaps the greatest moment of God's self-revelation, God opens it up to the entire world. When God the Son takes on our flesh, comes down, born of a virgin, walking this earth and teaching and healing, and by his very words and by his very actions, continually revealing who God is to all who would listen, to all who have ears to hear and eyes to see. When we see Jesus, we see God. When we hear Jesus, we hear God. When we know Jesus, we know God. And when God in the flesh was arrested, put on trial, tortured, crucified, died, and was buried, God said, that's not the last word. And God raised him from the dead. And in doing so, freeing all of humanity from our own slavery to sin and to death. The great theologian Robert Jensen has it right. We want to know who God is. God is the God who raised Jesus from the dead, having first raised Israel out of Egypt. That is who God is. That's who God has always been. That's who God will always be. And after Jesus had ascended, as the disciples gathered in that room in Jerusalem, the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, came upon the church. Came upon us to empower us, to guide us, to form us, and to always remind us what it's all about. It's all about proclaiming God to those who don't know God. About proclaiming a narrative that this world doesn't know. But a narrative that speaks to who God is and is constantly reminding all who have eyes to see and ears to hear what God is all about. So that we all may know who God is and what God will do, the promises that God will see through. That's who God is, my friends. When we say God, that's who we're talking about. Just saying those three letters, G-O-D, carry with it for those of us of the faith, that entire narrative. Not some vague God that we're too afraid to talk about. But the God that we base our entire lives on. The God that we, the community called Hollywood, base our collective lives upon. At the end of the day, my friends, that's who God is. Amen. And it's interesting, my friends, look at how we say the creed, which is what we're going to do right now. Could it not be said that what we're about to say is that I believe in God? And then every line that follows draws us into that narrative. Every line that follows draws us into what God has done and what God promises to do. Could it be that after that first line, what we are doing is defining the specific God that we believe in? And so I invite you to join me in telling that narrative. For I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.